Hi, I'm Femi Oke. What happens when 154 elected people attempt to rewrite a constitution for an entire nation? Will everybody like it? Well, we are about to find out on Sunday as Chile citizens go to the polls to vote on a draft constitution. So today on our show, as we head towards referendum day, what could this draft constitution do for Chile? You can be part of the conversation on YouTube. The comment section is right now live, so you can join us and be part of today's show.
Chile has undertaken this radical experiment in peaceful democratic renovation, updating its constitution to respond to many of the crises that simply don't appear in our constitutional frameworks. Crises like inequality between men and women, rich and poor, urban and rural, crises of insecurity, guaranteeing access to health, to housing, to a decent standard of living, and finally to a crisis of climate change, a crisis constantly ignored by not only our lawmakers, but the constitutional frameworks to which they pay homage on a daily basis.
David there embodying the possibilities of what could happen in Chile with a new constitution. Joining us to talk about the realities, Valentina, Kimana, and also Patricio. Good to have you. Welcome back to Summer. Welcome to Kimana. Nice to have you. Valentina, please say hello to our audience around the world. Welcome back to the stream. Tell them who you are and your connection to this draft constitution process in Chile.
Thank you very much for the invitation. My name is Valentina Matus, and I am the editor of Contexto Factual, a digital media that covered in ground the constitutional process.
Good to have you. Semana. Kimana, welcome. Nice to have you. Please introduce yourself to our audience around the world.
Hi, my name is Kimana Fulota-Fulsha. I'm a senior advisor working for International Ideas Constitution Building Program out of The Hague, Netherlands. I've been involved in Chile for the past years and, of course, following very closely this process, also with some travel to Chile in the past month. So really excited to be here, and thank you.
Oh, so good to have you. And Patricio, welcome back to the stream. We last saw you on March the 2nd. So interesting to see how you're doing, but remind our audience who you are, what you do, and your connection to this draft constitutional process.
Sure. I'm Patricio Navia. I'm a professor of liberal studies at New York University. I also teach political science at Universidad Diego Portales in Chile, and I'm an expert on Chilean politics. So I followed the constitution process and everything that came before very closely too.
Patricio, there was something that you said on the show back in March that stuck with me. It was such a vivid metaphor. I'm going to play it back to you and you can tell me where we are with the draft constitution. If that metaphor still stands, here is Patricio on March the 2nd on the stream.
Constitutions would ideally be minimalist, and this will probably be one of the longest constitutions in the world because they are putting lots of things into the constitution. That's never a good idea. In building constitutions, less is better than having way too many things, and this constitution will end up looking like a Christmas tree with presents for everyone.
How's the Christmas tree looking?
Well, lots of presents and not really a mechanism to pay for those presents. So this is one of the longest constitutions in the world. It has a number of social rights. This is very common in Latin American constitutions. The social rights are put into the constitution, but then they are not delivered. They are not enforced. So people get disappointed and discontent with democracy because they were promised something. This is like getting a present in your Christmas tree, but the present is really empty.
Oh, my goodness. Valentina, I'm just thinking, you've been following this entire process. Your assignment ends on Sunday. What stands out for you from reporting this for Chile, for Chileans, so they understand the entire process? What jumps out at you? What memory would you like to share?
Well, I think that it was truly an experiment, as they said earlier before. And as this experiment, I think people were very interested in seeing what was going to happen. And as what Patricio was saying, I think it's also kind of a Christmas tree. And he also said in March, less is better, which I agree. And I think that most lawyers agree. But an interesting thing that I have seen in this past month is that Part of the campaign has focused in saying that there's many things that aren't in the proposal. And maybe lawyers are going to agree that it isn't necessary that they are in the proposal, but still there are making a little bit of frightness on people, saying that because things aren't there, it means that we're not going to have them furthermore, or the law is not going to include it. So I think that's a very, very interesting thing that has happened in at least these few months of the campaign.
Kimani, you've got so much experience when it comes to constitutions and new ones, rewriting them. So this one is 54,000 words long. It feels like it's a giant constitution. It's huge. If people are voting on it, are they really going to read it by Sunday?
Well, that's a really, really good question. I think that it will be hard for most people to read this constitution, but of course there have been civic education campaigns and other campaigns to inform the public of the contents of this constitution. I think the constitution is actually quite interesting. It has a number of innovations also in the framework of Chile's constitution, recent constitutional history. And those innovations will probably bring, if the draft is approved, of course, will bring some changes to Chilean society. So I think it's interesting, but it's also in the framework of global trends on constitution making, which are quite interesting to follow.
All right.
Now
give me one innovation where you were looking at, because you've been involved with this, rewriting the constitution, creating a new constitution for Chile. So an innovation that really you look at and you go, wow. What would that be?
Well, I would say that parity, not only in the legislature and Congress, but also in other state institutions, has been quite an important innovation, one that was also demanded by half of the population, right? So I would say that's a really important one, but there are so many others as well, right?
Yeah, that is huge. So the gender parity is in public office. There has to be equal jobs for men and for women immediately. As soon as this constitution is, if it is adopted, that will happen immediately. That is extraordinary, because for many other places in the world, it will take us 50 years to get to this space, or 100 years to get to this space. I want to introduce you to Alondra Carrillo, who was part of the drafting committee. And this is what she says about gender parity.
In the history of mankind, this is the first constitution written by a joint body that has a result in the lives of women, girls, and brings diversity. Sexual and gender dissidents are at the center of our constitutional proposal, which could lead to the eradication of centuries-old injustice.
Valentina, was that something that is resonating with the public in Chile? Are they excited about that part of the draft constitution?
I would definitely say it is. The last years, there has been a very strong feminist movement that has asked for more rights for women, for children, for girls, for sexual dissidents. So I think it's a very important thing. And for the referendum, they also asked for gender parity. As we saw, the 154 constitutionals were half women, half men. So and the same assembly member said that it was going to be difficult to have a result that wasn't similar to the way that this constitution was written. So the parity concept was really, really present among all the discussion, and now we can see it really materialized, and people, of course, women, are very happy with this idea.
Patricia, just going back to your sort of political roots, what is the purpose of a new constitution for Chile? It feels like everybody's hopes and dreams are in this 54,000-word document that goes on for page after page after page. Is that the ideal for a constitution? What should Chile be asking for?
Constitutions should be the rules of the game. They are not policy documents. They are not documents about where we want the country to go, but rather what the rules are for how the political process will play out in the country. And I think many people in Chile confuse, and in other places as well, confuse the component of the rules of the game, which are not very clear in the Constitution, and the policy objectives, which should be part of the political process, not part of the Constitution. After all, every 4 years we have elections so that people choose whether they want to go right or left, backwards or forwards, in the political process. So constitutions do discuss, and I'm going to take issue with the earlier statement made by the political economist, constitutions discuss inequality all the time. The U.S. Constitution, for example, has an amendment that establishes, not an amendment, an article that establishes that a black person, a slave, would count for three-fifths of a person. So constitutions have always been about the rules of the game. This constitution is a lot about policy objectives, and I think that confuses a little bit what constitutions should be about. This draft constitution doesn't say how many legislators there will be in Congress, but it does say that Chile should prioritize foreign relations with Latin American countries. Those are policy issues, not constitutional design issues.
I think another.
But I would also say that a constitution also gives guidelines and principles as to how policy should be formed, right? And I do think
that
list of socioeconomic the list of social and economic rights is long, of course, but it leaves a lot to actual implementation, to the Congress to legislate. So it gives a lot of, it gives orientation, but at the same time, it leaves quite a lot of space for Congress to actually make policy. And it doesn't really determine the way that policy is going to be.
I think that another problem that is also confusing the citizens is that this government that is by President Gabriel Boric has made the idea that the success of the own government depends on the success of the referendum in case that Apruebo wins. And that also generates a problem because people tend to think that giving a thumbs up to the project is also giving a thumb up to the president and his government. And this is, I think, a wrong idea because, as Patricio said, this is about the rules of the game and not the rules of the government. The Constitution is supposed to be think for 30, 40 years ahead, and not only for a four-year term, presidential term. So I think that in this moment in the Congress and in the government, there has been a wrong idea about how the country should read this constitution, and it isn't necessarily attached to the government. It's more attached to the state as a general idea.
I am wondering what the atmosphere is like in Chile right now. Polls are not necessarily the best barometer for how people are feeling, but it gives us a little bit of an idea. Have a look here on my laptop. So the green bar means that population approves, a certain part of the population approves of the draft constitution. The pink, reject. The grey, don't know. So August the 19th, the yes, let's go for this new constitution, 37%. August the 7th, 43%, yes, let's go for this new constitution. And August the 19th, 33%, yes, let's go for this new constitution. All of that time, the reject percent of the people polled said, no, we don't feel this. What does that sound like, though, on the ground? Let's have a listen to a Chilean who is very keen for this draft constitution process and somebody who isn't. Take a look.
This process has involved all of us, equally. We have seen all of our rights made visible, rights that we have fought for through the feminist movements, the women's movement. It is a historical struggle that we have been carrying out in Chile for many years. And today, all generations are united to say that we approve it.
They say there is a little book called the Constitution that is the origin of all of our problems. And they say that another little book called The New Constitution is going to be the solution to all our problems. I don't think the solution is just to write something down. What we really need are good public policies.
All right, I'm not supposed to ask a political analyst this, but Patricio, what are your family and your friends feeling at the moment?
Well, I don't think they're very representative because they all live in the United States. Mm-hmm. I'm right now in Prague. So I haven't been to Chile for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. But polls are not really predicting very well who will vote. So since we don't have a likely voter, we don't really know how many people will show up. This is technically a mandatory voting situation.
So everyone's got to show up, though. How do you not know if it's mandatory? Every voting adult has to show up. Do they not, Patricia?
Well, there are lots of things that are mandatory and people don't do. So you cannot really
force
people to do. Simply by saying that it's mandatory, you're not going to get many people to show up. Yeah. Besides, voting is like smoking. If you didn't do it by the time you were 40, you're probably not going to do it. And there are many older Chileans who never voted. Younger people might turn out to vote, but the older population that never voted will probably not bother to show up and vote on Sunday. So if we don't know who's a likely voter, it's very difficult to predict what the result will be.
Come on, go ahead.
I think there's also something to consider.
Valentina, you go first. Kamana, you go second. Valentina.
Okay. I think that something that we have to consider is that in the entry referendum, there still was a very, very big percentage of people who wanted a new constitution, around 80% of the people. Now, despite what happens, I think that the percentages are going to be much closer, around 55% against 45%. I don't know which option is going to win, though. But I think that the percentages are going to be much, much closer because in this whole year of work of the Constitutional Convention, we saw that people weren't necessarily happy with the outcome of what they did, and specifically with some of their behaviors among the months that they worked. There were some conflicts, there were some polemic things. So I think that despite maybe approval wins, that doesn't mean that the general, the population, like a big number of them, are going to be very happy with the result.
We've got some really interesting comments here on YouTube. So let me start with Mignatzol. We'll see if this constitution is a victory for democracy on the 4th. The way the debate is dominated by the spread of false information makes me doubt if the process is sufficiently independent. Earlier, we spoke to Jennifer, who made a very similar point. This is what she told us.
The constitutional process was sparked by demands for a more just and equitable society. And so the outcome of Sunday's referendum signals whether countries can use constitution making to improve satisfaction with democracy. And the new constitution's defeat would signal the triumph of anti-democratic forces. That's because the opponents to the new constitution are not just expressing policy disagreement. They are relying on fake news and fear-mongering to undermine the new constitution's legitimacy. For example, they demonize marginalized social groups like Indigenous peoples, circulating falsehoods on social media like the new constitution will allow Indigenous peoples to steal your house. These tactics are straight out of the Trump and Bolsonaro playbook, and their global diffusion is extremely concerning.
Valentina, can you tell us more about the misinformation, some of the most outrageous rumors that you've heard, you've read, you've seen?
Well, for example, now that they approve women's rights, and one of those rights of reproductive rights is that people can do abortions, some people have said that they're going to allow abortions until 9 months pregnancy, that it's basically when the child is born. So there are many, many things like they're going to take away your houses or for example, that there isn't going to be any more police, that people are very afraid of. And this is very, very effective because we know that when people get afraid, are angry about some things, that is a very, very, like, a root that touches you very deep inside. So you get really convinced about that, and you don't wonder if the information that you're receiving is correct or isn't correct. You just get by of emotions. And just as Jennifer said, that's a very strong strategy of fake news and disinformation. And we have seen it very, very strongly this past month.
Our audience is thinking...
Well, but let me think yep. issue with what Jennifer said. I mean, sure. Jennifer implied that voting reject is kind of anti-democratic. That's also fake news. I mean, Jennifer is embarking on the same kind of fake news that she accuses the others to do. There are two legitimate options on Sunday. You can vote approve or vote reject for this constitution. But it doesn't mean that you're anti-democratic if you vote for one or the other.
This is really interesting.
I think this also has political confidence.
All right, let me get Kamana in here, Valentina, and then you can come after Kamana. Kamana, you go ahead.
I do think that there are some legitimate concerns as to the constitution, maybe less as to what the constitution says, but more what the constitution doesn't and how the constitution will actually be implemented. But another very interesting thing is that even those that even the rejection campaign and those that argue for rejection, they still in a great percentage want a new constitution to be adopted, even if it's not this one, right? And that is really interesting because going back to the 1980 constitution does not seem, at least in the long term, to be a real option.
Kamala, I just wanted to piggyback off that because Bright is on YouTube right now, and his question to you panel, what was it about the old constitution that didn't work for the people of Chile? Patricio.
Well, it depends on what your viewpoint is, but the old constitution lacked a legitimate origin. It was written under the military dictatorship. It did produce the space for democracy to grow and consolidate since democracy was restored in 1990. It had a number of authoritarian enclaves, but the country did reduce poverty and inequality since 1990, probably not fast enough or not as fast as many of us wanted to, but democracy did flourish under the old constitution. But the origin of that constitution was clearly illegitimate because it was imposed by a military dictatorship.
Valentina, go ahead. You had some more to add.
Yes, I think that there's something that people still question. That is that when the protest started in October of 2019, people were, they wanted more equal rights. That's something that everyone knows. And the political solution to that was a new constitution. But people in the streets weren't asking for a new constitution. So I don't know if that the answer that our watcher said is can be answered, because now when the political parties offered this new constitution, when the president said we have to have a new constitution, everybody was on board, but it wasn't the thing that the people in the street asked for. So maybe the people have this idea that a new constitution is going to give them many more rights and it's going to reduce the inequality, but we're not 100% sure that that is going to happen. It depends on the public policies that, of course, have a very, very big base with the Constitution, but it isn't just enough. So I think that people have to be really conscious of that, because the high expectations this new Constitution has maybe aren't going to be enough for what people want.
Come on, briefly, go ahead.
Well, in the end, the Constitution is just a written text. It needs to be implemented, right? So public policies are the center of how this Constitution will be implemented and whether it will respond to the needs and demands of the population and those that they voiced in November 2019. So I do think it will be seen. I mean, a lot of things of the Constitution text and its implementation will be seen once it starts being implemented. And another interesting thing is that it is the current Congress that was just elected in November, December last year that will be in charge of implementing it for the next 3 years in case that it is approved.
All right,
that's also an interesting point.
So even though it's a mandatory referendum, Patrice pointed out that not everybody does what they're supposed to do. So we do not know what will happen on Sunday. But I want to include two important voices. One voice is a yes, this is an important draft constitution. The other voice is I am voting no. So you can hear from people who are actually going to vote what decisions they're going to make. Have a listen. Have a look.
In the current constitution, there is not a paragraph, an article, a line, a word that mentions the native people. In the new proposal that will be voted on September 4th, and for which we call for approval, there are 55 articles dedicated to indigenous people.
I vote no, because I feel that although it is true that generating a new constitution is super important, the idea of creating it was born at a time of great crisis in our country. Therefore, it was not a decision that was made on the basis of objectivity, mainly because Chile was going through a very difficult time.
One last question for Kamala. This is dipping into her expertise. The referendum question on Sunday will be, do you approve the text of the new constitution proposed by the Constitutional Convention? Is that a good question to ask Chile?
Well,
no pressure.
That's a very difficult question to answer, but I suppose it is clear enough. And I mean, the work of the Constitutional Convention has been in the media for the past year and so forth, and everybody is looking forward to going and voting and also passing the page and seeing what the future holds for them.
Thank you, Kamala, Patricio, Valentina, as we lead up to the referendum for Chile's draft constitution. Keep watching Al Jazeera to find out what the result will be. Thanks for watching. Take care. I'll see you next time.